Come grab the keys. Let's go right now with a new Toyota from Modesto Toyota. Now is the time to grab the keys to that new Toyota you want. You can count on Modesto Toyota for great savings. Come in, check out all the great models and deals, or go to ModestoToyota.com and see all the incoming vehicles like I did, then just pick out the one you want. You can get great prices and special lease deals and save big time on gas with the many hybrid cars, SUVs, and trucks, or you can check out the all-electric bZ4X at a low price or an incredible lease deal. Yes, it's time. So let's grab the keys to your new Toyota. And you know, since 1965, Modesto Toyota's had thousands of happy customers like me because of the great service and great prices. So now's the time to grab the keys to your new Toyota and win big time. There's no dealer markup, and the time has never been better. It's where I get my Toyotas. Come find out for yourself at Modesto Toyota and ModestoToyota.com. Come grab the keys. Let's go right now with a new Toyota from Modesto Toyota. Now is the time to grab the keys to that new Toyota you want. You can count on Modesto Toyota for great savings. Come in, check out all the great models and deals, or go to ModestoToyota.com and see all the incoming vehicles like I did, then just pick out the one you want. You can get great prices and special lease deals and save big time on gas with the many hybrid cars, SUVs, and trucks, or you can check out the all-electric bZ4X at a low price or an incredible lease deal. Yes, it's time. So let's grab the keys to your new Toyota. And you know, since 1965, Modesto Toyota's had thousands of happy customers like me because of the great service and great prices. So now's the time to grab the keys to your new Toyota and win big time. There's no dealer markup, and the time has never been better. It's where I get my Toyotas. Come find out for yourself at Modesto Toyota and ModestoToyota.com.
All right, let's talk to Sean Estes, our weekly conversation. Before we get into the Padres and going down the stretch of these final 12 games, did you ever have a moment like Kevin Gausman had with the game winner, that game winning sacrifice fly that ever happened?
He hit a grand slam in a shutout. He's done way bigger than that.
Yeah, but no game winners, right?
This
no
guy can winners. Hit. You kidding me?
Oh, it turned out to be the game winner. I think.
Oh,
we were up 7-0 at the time. So no, I've never done that.
Still, a granny's pretty cool. I mean, I probably
heard about
that.
It put it out of reach. It put it out of reach. No, man, that's like a pitcher's dream right there to get that opportunity.
Did you see that? He said, other than his kids, that was the best moment of his life.
I know. I think his wife probably had something to say about that when he got home that night. Hey, remember that time when we got married? Was that any good?
Yeah, you only get yourself in trouble. Yeah, for sure.
I thought about that when he said that. He was like, yeah, other than have my two kids being born, this is the greatest moment of my life. That should be the greatest moment. It's just something that's just, you just never think is you're going to have an opportunity to do something like that. So it's like amongst pitchers, you talk about all the time, oh, it'd be great to get an at bat that actually really mattered in a game. Typically, you know, if you pitch a good game, you know, you're going to get, and if you throw a CG, you know, you're going to get an at bat late in the game, but you're not in the game unless you're winning the game. Right. So, you're not going to usually be able to have an opportunity to get a big hit. So with this lineup, or with the way that Cap manages games now, you know, and using that and going to the bench early in games, you know, I think there's more of an opportunity for pitchers to get at bats. We've seen it a lot more this year than we ever have, you know, pitchers being the last guy available on a lot of teams' benches. And so you're seeing pitchers, you know, come up in later innings. But to be able to actually go out there, you know, when I think everybody in the stadium was hoping he didn't even swing the bat. I think Cap was probably thinking the same thing. Like, just don't hit into a double play, right? And then you get to two strikes, and he lays off some really good pitches. And he gets to a 3-2 count. Now you're thinking he might have a chance here. He's a good contact hitter, but like you said, I don't think he's pulled the ball all season long. And it was the first time he actually pulls the ball and he gets a game winner. That's pretty cool, though. Webb was the guy. He was saying that he was up. He started the game, but he was up in the clubhouse, ticked off because that's like something he's dreamt about as well. And he probably would have been the option had he not started the game.
And hopefully what he's saying is it's the greatest moment of his athletic life, took his family out of it to this point. But hopefully he'll have bigger moments when he, you know, starts playoff games and, you know, maybe game ones of series, division series, championship series, world series. And the way they have it lined up, they can finagle. But right now he's lined up to go first and then Webb and DeSclafani behind him. And then, which leads to what Alex Wood did on Saturday night, Sean, was wow. I mean, we didn't know what to expect. The guy's been really sick. He hasn't pitched since August the 26th. He had COVID badly, was running a consistent fever for a week. He looked like he had lost weight. He had a couple out of his hand that were, you know, easy takes, but, man, he threw really well. 39 pitches. He got through three innings. So after watching Alex Wood pitch on Saturday night, you got to be confident that he gets penciled in the playoff rotation. So what's the steps, stair-stepping him up to getting him rolling to pitch, you know, more and more as he goes on here the last couple of weeks of the year?
Yeah, we threw 37 the other night. Very, very encouraging, though. Just, you know, you knew he was going to get out there and he was going to get his pitches. And you know, Cap even said before the game, 35 pitches probably. But, you know, get up and down three times was like, that's ideal. I mean, to take 35 pitches and be able to throw three innings, I think they were looking at maybe an inning or two. But to be able to get up and down three times, that's encouraging because then you can, you know, his next start, you can ramp him up to maybe 55 pitches. You know, it's kind of like a spring training ramp up right now because he didn't throw very much in between, you know, during his COVID stint. I mean, he was on his back for 10 days and we saw him playing some catch in the outfield during the broadcast. You know, the team was on the road, just playing catch. And then he threw a bullpen and he threw a simulated game and then boom, he's in a big league game. So he didn't think he was going to be sharp, but oh my goodness. I mean, that's as good as he's looked all season long. And so, now it's just a matter of, you know, getting his legs under him, you know, getting the stamina built up. And I'm guessing he'll get probably three more starts before the season ends. And then at that point he'll be good to go. He'll be probably up to 85, 90 pitches. So that's really encouraging to see that because I don't think anybody wanted to see any more bullpen games or at least two out of the five. They can navigate one out of the five, but two out of the five, then your bullpen's going to be spent in my opinion. So to have him back is big at this point.
Sean Estes joining us, our weekly conversation. Kevin Gausman goes tonight in game number one. How are you feeling about him coming down the stretch?
I feel good about him. I mean, the numbers weren't good in his last start against San Diego, which was 5 days ago. He gave up the home run to Tatis and the two-strike double to Pham. He gave up four in that game, but, you know, he had been lights out against the Padres in the previous three. I mean, he faced him three out of his first seven starts this year. And he gave up a total of three runs and 19 innings pitched, and he dominated the Padres lineup. But, you know, obviously we talked a little bit about the struggles post All-Star break, but I was just really encouraged by the stuff that I saw, how the ball was coming out of his hand. You know, the results aside, you know, he was pumping 98. So, and that's in late September. So you know, he's feeling strong right now, and that's what you want. You want a lot of times guys will start to get tired, you know, this time of year. But I think that a little bit of the adrenaline right now of winning this division, the motivation to win this division, I think guys are starting to feel it, you know, starting to like they can smell the finish line. So, you know, that takes it up a notch as far as the adrenaline goes when you go out and make your start. So I liked what I saw. And, you know, he's going to want to have a little revenge. He'll have the revenge factor, you know, tonight based on them tagging him for four runs. He's going to want to go out there and pitch much better than he did. But the stuff was nasty. So I liked what I saw out of Gausman. I liked what I saw out of Webb. I mean, I think that they got a really, really solid 1-2 punch. And then DeSclafani's been throwing the ball extremely well. So that's what you want. You want your starting pitchers to be rolling at the right time. And I know we got a couple weeks to go, but it's a good sign to see those guys throwing the ball as well as they are.
And getting Alex Wood back in the mix, and then we'll see what, you know, Johnny can do, Johnny Cueto, whether or not he's going to be able to come back and I'm throwing at 90 feet. I think it was yesterday. The big injury, I guess, still looming out there now, and it just cropped up on Friday before Gausman had the sack fly, was Jake McGee, Sean, going on the the IL, and you've been talking about adding a another arm in the bullpen and a closer. Well, right now you don't have your closer, and Jake was lights out. You know, second half of the year he's been terrific, but it's his front side, it's the right oblique, and they're going to shut him down here, obviously, for a period of time. So hopefully he can come back and maybe pitch at the tail end of the year, and then be ready to roll come the first week in October, first full week in October. But how concerned are you, and what do the Giants do? Dominic Leone was good the other night. Tyler Rogers has been better in the eighth and the ninth. How do you think they close out this week without him? And then how concerned that are you that Jake can come back at some point?
Yeah, I think I'm not as concerned about Cap finding somebody to pitch the ninth inning. I think there's a few guys down that bullpen that can do it. I think Rogers can do it. He's obviously proven he can do it, but I really, really feel more comfortable with Rogers in the eighth inning. Just numbers. Just look at the numbers. I mean, he's got over a 5 in the ninth inning. He's got under a 1 in the eighth inning this year. So he's been much better in the eighth inning. And it's just, for whatever reason, that's just a better landing spot for him. The ninth inning is a tough inning to pitch in a close game. I mean, it really is. I mean, and that's why I was talking about all year long about getting a guy that, has the ability to strike guys out in the ninth inning. Someone that, just is nastier, right? That has a secondary pitch that they can go to. And now they're faced with, making some tough decisions. I'm more concerned about McGee coming back than I am about them, Leone pitching the ninth or Watson pitching the ninth. Cap will play matchups in that position in the ninth inning now. But it would be really beneficial if the Giants can get McGee back by playoff time. But when you're talking about obliques, and I've strained an oblique before. I strained one early in my career. It's nothing you want to mess with. It's not an injury that you can come back early from. You can't be feeling it a little bit and say, yeah, I think I can go. Because, and especially if it's the right side, which is which is his lead side, because it really will affect your ability to throw a pitch and throw a pitch where you want to. And, McGee really relies on, the four-seam fastball and riding it up in the zone. He relies on his health and how he's feeling. And, he uses that front side, he has to torque that front side to get that life on his fastball. And if that's bothering you at all, it's going to affect your velocity. It's going to affect your location. It's going to affect all that. So it's one of those things you have to make sure when you get on the mound, you don't feel it at all. And I'm talking at all in 100% getting after a pitch. Because if you feel it one time, it's going to be there again. And it's not going to just feel it one time, go away. It's going to get worse. So we've seen hitters come back from it in a couple weeks this year. So you can do it. If it wasn't strained significantly, guys can come back fast from it. But he's got to make sure that he can't be a hero, because you're just going to be worse off because of it. You try to go out there and pitch before the season ends and you hurt it worse and you're done for playoffs. So I think they'd be wise to make sure that he's 100% ready to roll before he takes the mound again. So that's my biggest concern, is getting him back. But I don't have as much of a concern right now as how Cap's going to manage the ninth inning. I really don't. I have confidence in a lot of those guys down there. Tony Watson, Leone, even Rogers, if the matchups are right.
Just in general, Padres 3, Rockies 3, D-backs, and then finish 3 against the Padres. The Dodgers have the Rockies, Diamondbacks, Padres, and then the Brewers, which would be kind of strange for the final three. But just how are you feeling in general about coming down the stretch here in the final three with a one-game lead over the Dodgers?
Not good. I'm not.
Really?
I'm really not. I'm still a little worried about it. And not because I think the Giants can't go out there and win series for the rest of this year. I just don't think eight. They have 12 left. Mm-hmm. I don't think 8-4 is going to be good enough. Just the way the Giants are playing, or the Dodgers are playing right now, they're 32-8 in their last 40 games. They went a little stretch after the break. They went 9-10, and that was, and then since then they've been 32-8. And the only series that they have lost have been to the Giants, and believe it or not, the Rockies. So the Rockies took them 2 out of 3 in LA. So now the Rockies are home. Would they actually play better at home? So they could put up a fight against the Dodgers. They've been playing better. I just think that the schedule sets up a little bit better for the Dodgers, because I don't think the Brewers, the last series of the year, they're already in. They don't have a ton to play for. They're not going to have the best record, so they don't have that to play for. Yes, you want to create some momentum going into the playoffs, but they're not going to run their big three out there against the Dodgers, because they're going to set those guys up for the playoffs. They'll probably face one or two of them, but they're not going to have them go deep in the games. They're going to monitor their pitch count. They're going to make sure that they're healthy. So I just don't think you're going to get Milwaukee's best against the Dodgers in those three games. So I'm a little worried about that. And I feel like the Dodgers are playing the best baseball in the big leagues right now. And I don't like the schedule. So I think the Giants are going to have to go, 9-3. I think that's going to be the number that they nine wins. So that'd give them 106. I think 106 is going to be the number. And then that's still maybe only good enough for a tie. And then what do you have to do? You have to play a one-game playoff at home to determine the division winner. I could see that happening, and that's not ideal, because the loser has to go on to play the wild card 2 days later, and then that just blows you up rotation-wise. You know, you have to use your two best then. I don't know. I'm a little concerned. I mean, but every time I'm concerned, the Giants seem to, you know, go out there and prove me wrong and everybody wrong. So I wouldn't put it past them, but I don't know about you guys, but I think 9-3 might get it done.
Yeah, 12-0, I know will get it done. With the exception of an 18-hour period around the first night of September, they have been in first place since Memorial Day. So they're still in first place. Bigger issue, your fantasy football team after 2 weeks. What's the one loss
record? 2-0, Pop.
2-0? Like the 49ers and the Raiders. You're 2-0?
Yep. 2-0. Yep. I beat Laura Britt, who you know well.
I know her well.
Niners, and she won the league last year.
And Giants. She does.
She won the league last year. Wow. And you knocked off.
She won the league last year, and I took her down the first week by 0.18 points, Woo! Which is by far the closest. I won because the Raiders went overtime. Against the who was it on that Monday night?
The Ravens.
They went over the Ravens. They went overtime against the Ravens, and Kenyon Drake got one carry in overtime, and that put me over the top. She was so bummed. And then this week,
who's your quarterback? Who's your quarterback?
I got Rodgers. So you
Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah.
Well, you're going to be 2-1 after this week, Sean. He's going to have. How'd you win the first game with him? He had a terrible game.
I had the lowest point total for any winner in the league, but so that just tells you that Laura didn't have a very good week. But
who's her quarterback?
I don't know who she had. I can't remember.
Freelance maybe.
Yeah, I don't think so. Yeah, no. But this week I went on high week. I had high week. I have Derrick Henry and Aaron Rodgers, so they carried my team.
Oh
so
wow, you're Derrick Henry. Wow.
Yeah, I had Derrick Henry. So. And then that receiver out of Denver has been pretty good. Oh, that Courtland Sutton guy.
Courtland Sutton,
he's good.
He had a big game, so I have him. But, yeah, no, it was a good fantasy week for me, so I'm rolling. I'm feeling good about myself.
Very nice. Very nice.
I can go talk smack in the studio today.
No, that's right.
Are you back?
Yeah, you'll be in.
You're back today.
I'm back
right,
today, Sean. I'm back. I'm back all week.
Good, good.
Now, well, you're good, back right. On the game broadcast on Friday. You're with me on pre and post Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, then game Friday, correct?
Yes, that's correct. Rocky series, I'm on them broadcast. So, yeah, should be fun, man. This is going to be a fun final stretch here.
Fine couple of weeks, absolutely.
Thank you so much. Hey, Lund, you sound like you're sick, man. I hope you get better.
Thanks, man. Yeah, a little cold. Everybody's freaking out on the text line. You got COVID. You got to get tested. I'm like, I know. Yeah, I'm good. Yeah, I got tested already.
Did you get tested? Yeah, no, yeah. My wife had a cold, got tested, and it's still lingering. It's been over two weeks now, so it's something going around that's not good.
Yeah,
fortunately, it's not COVID.
Yeah, that's the big thing. Is like, you know, I did that test, so I'm good. But everybody's freaking out, like, take the day off. I'm fine. I think it's kind of a sexy sound. What do you think? Pretty good.
Yeah, I wouldn't use that word, but. Save that for the women listeners.
Very throaty. Okay, very throaty. Yeah, all right, throaty. I'll go for that.
Right. A little nasally,
yeah.
But not
okay,
bad.
Okay, yeah, that's not a compliment. Yeah, nasally is not good. Not good at all.
No, I know in broadcasting you don't want to be nasally.
No, you don't want to be nasally at all. Yeah. People hate nasally. But anyway.
Yeah.
All right, man. Hey, thanks. Appreciate it. We'll talk to you next week. We'll see you tonight on TV.
Okay. Sounds good. See you later, Pop.
Bye. See you, man.
Come grab the keys. Let's go right now with a new Toyota from Modesto Toyota. Now is the time to grab the keys to that new Toyota you want. You can count on Modesto Toyota for great savings. Come in, check out all the great models and deals, or go to ModestoToyota.com and see all the incoming vehicles like I did, then just pick out the one you want. You can get great prices and special lease deals and save big time on gas with the many hybrid cars, SUVs, and trucks. Or you can check out the all-electric BZ4X at a low price or an incredible lease deal. Yes, it's time. So let's grab the keys to your new Toyota. And you know, since 1965, Modesto Toyota's had thousands of happy customers like me because of the great service and great prices. So now's the time to grab the keys to your new Toyota and win big time. There's no dealer markup, and the time has never been better. It's where I get my Toyotas. Come find out for yourself at Modesto Toyota and ModestoToyota.com.